truth.
Hey everybody, welcome in. Thanks for jumping in with us right here today at 97.1 FM, or are you at 1450 AM going out to all of our Boundary County listeners, or are you live at NorthIdahoRadio.com? However you're jumping in, we welcome you. It's all good, and you already know it's Tuesday. It's Speak Up. My name is Barbara, and as always, we have a special program for you. My guest today is Wayne Hoffman. He is the president and founder of the Idaho Freedom Foundation. This is a well-respected public policy think tank here in Idaho, helping governing entities find good solutions, cost-effective solutions that protect our liberties and our constitutional rights. That's a big order, so we're going to get into the details on this program. So we're going to take that first break right now and do a little business, so we'll be right back.
Does your company have big ambitions? Is it ready to grow, ready to expand, ready to make something of itself? If so, then you should talk to us, Mountain West Bank. Our business banking experts have the breadth of experience, the depth of knowledge, and the impressive portfolio of business loans to help your business succeed. So, big business, small business, or somewhere in between. Drop in today. Mountain West Bank. Today, tomorrow, together. For your business. Member FDIC.
Is your cabin overflowing with more stuff than you need? Are your pole barns bursting? Are you too hot and cranky to put on a yard sale? Mountain Traders is here to help sell your goods and cool you off with a great dish of ice cream. Mountain Traders can sell everything from your trucks, RVs, furniture, books, tools, appliances, even your furry and feathered friends. Located on Highway 95 in Elmira, just 10 miles north of Sandpoint. Visit mountaintraders.net.
Paid for by Christian Care Ministry.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that is MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save many families up to $500 a month, and that is huge. But it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The member satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years. Members have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now. You'll get a price within 2 minutes. So see what you can save. This is a very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. Call 855-51-BIBLE. That's 855-51-BIBLE, 855-51-BIBLE.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack, but not with ZipRecruiter. Its powerful technology actively finds and invites qualified candidates to apply to your job. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Jim Gaffigan here with some more straight talk. Let's take a moment to appreciate our sweet children, loving grandparents, and eternal soulmates. Now let's use them to save money on wireless. Because with the Straight Talk Silver plan, you get 4 lines for just $25 a month with unlimited data and no contracts. So add those human pawns, I mean loved ones, and save money. Thanks, kids. You're finally worth it. Straight Talk Wireless, available at Walmart.
Get 4 lines on Silver Unlimited for $25 per line per month, plus taxes and fees. For data management practices and additional terms, visit straighttalk.com.
North Idaho's Radio, 97.1 FM and 1450 and 1400 AM.
Hey, everybody, welcome back in. Join me now. Say hello and welcome to Wayne Hoffman, president and co-founder of the Idaho Freedom Foundation. Wayne, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for having me, or having us, since I've got my granddaughter sitting on my lap. She should be okay.
She's adorable. All right. We're coloring. We're having fun. I want to start. I'd like our listeners to understand how long the Freedom Foundation has been in operation and what actually was the genesis steps for you to begin with the other founders, this organization?
It's been 15 years. And the reason that we started it was because, you know, frankly, I'd been in journalism. I'd worked for politicians. I worked for a member of Congress. I worked for some state legislators. I worked for some state agencies along the way. And I just didn't want to work for a political party or a personality. I wanted to promote public policies that work and not have any allegiance to anything except for one thing, which was freedom.
Yes.
Which is the greatest gift that God has given us.
Amen to that. Yeah, mm-hmm. Our freedom and how our Constitution protects us and protects our freedoms that God has granted us, as our founders of this country said.
Exactly. And so anything that diminishes that is an affront to divine rights that we have and protected by our U.S. and state constitutions are supposed to be, oftentimes disregarded, which is too bad.
You know, one of the areas I think there's been a lot of back and forth on, but mostly attacks from the Democrats or the RINOs or whatever you want to say, the opposition to the way the primaries were changed for this upcoming 2024 primary season. Explain to our audience what the new law is and what it was designed to do.
Yeah, so the law isn't, I don't think, that consequential. I've always said that if you want to have elections that are secure, you have to make it a little harder to vote. The easier you make elections, the easier it is to do something to nefarious with regard to the results, the outcomes, the amount of time it takes to find out who won and so on. So probably the biggest example of that is some states that have these automatic registration. The moment you walk in to get a driver's license, then you're automatically registered to vote. And then they've got vote by mail, and you don't know who won the election until a week or 2 weeks later because it's really easy to vote. And they just mail ballots out to folks, and maybe they'll catch the folks that are just, you know, signing on to somebody else's ballot who used to live at that address, or maybe they won't. You just don't know. So the more you can lock up that system, the better. And one of the things that the legislature did last year in recognizing that is they said, okay, you have to have certain identification that you have to present at the polls in order to vote, and you have to have a residence that's defined by certain kinds of proof that
a physical address, a
utility bill, and so forth. And you can't just come in with a student ID that some school district has said that you get to have. That's the distinction there. It really is a nominal change. It just basically says you just can't use a system that isn't foolproof,
right,
to go and register to vote.
We need to have an Idaho driver's license with an Idaho address.
Yes.
And if that, for whatever reason, you've got your, I don't know, your out-of-state license or whatever, then that's not going to be accepted. But you can get a free Idaho ID card if you have trouble getting your driver's license.
Yes,
and
you can. And
it's just,
that's not hard.
Everybody needs a passport.
All that stuff is really, really easy. So all this yelling, and by the way, Republicans and Democrats voted for that bill, but then this other group, I think it's called Babe Vote or something like that, came out and objected and filed a lawsuit and said that's terrible.
A part of the law was that student IDs would no longer be, and I think it affects, I don't know the number, but I'm sure it's like under 30 in the entire state of Idaho.
Yeah, I don't know how many it is, but I mean, ultimately, it's kind of a silly thing that you're from California, and you move to Idaho, attend school, you never actually take up permanent residence, and then you're voting in the election because somebody, you know, perhaps, you know, coerced you in some kind of way to go and
The point of the student ID is just not a good ID typically.
Yes. Yeah.
It doesn't have a lot of parameters around it. And what irritates me, if I can use the word irritate or concerns me, is the people that are opposed to this requirement for how to get legally registered in Idaho. It's so easy. It's like they say, you know what? 18-year-olds don't have the ability to get a driver's license. They can't figure out how to get a free ID or a passport, that really is kind of insulting to our 18-year-olds. They can do this.
They can. I mean, this goes to a larger problem with America today, which is that young people have been turned into infants, if you will. I mean, I have a 2-year-old sitting on my lap right now. She's an infant, or she's a toddler, I guess.
Yeah.
But you have 18-year-olds that are so coddled, you know, the slightest thing happens and they fall apart because they're basically babies. And so, yeah, they can't work, they can't function, they can't go and do a simple thing like go register to vote, go to the county courthouse and fill out a form and sign your name. And it's just silly.
You know, there's another issue, Wayne, regarding elections, and that has to do with the primary process itself. And I'm trying to understand, if you can explain, the concern is that there are Democrats, because this is where it typically happens, who want to register as Republicans so they can vote in the Republican primary and help choose a Republican candidate. Then they want to switch back to a Democrat, so in the fall election they can vote for the Democrat of their choice. What's happening there?
Well, I mean, if you go back a little bit, there was a time, a very long period of time, that Idaho had open primaries. So you just showed up and you said, I want a Democrat ballot, or I want a Republican ballot. And of course, most people, because they live in an area where there aren't Democrats on the ballot, would come in the primary and they'd say, I want a Republican ballot. And it didn't matter whether you're actually Republican or not, but you were choosing essentially the people who are going to be on the general election ballot. So if you're a Democrat, there's no one on your ballot, you choose the most liberal and the most leftist Republican you can. And so that went away when some folks in the party, including me, filed a lawsuit and said, no, under the United States Constitution, we have a freedom of assembly. You can't make us assemble with people we don't want to assemble with, or tell us that we can't assemble with folks that we want to assemble. And so we won that lawsuit. The legislature changed the law, and you have closed primaries. But the Democrats are still manipulating the system where they will functionally cross over.
Right.
And they'll be Republicans for a certain amount of time, and then they will, you know, deactivate as Republicans because they only want to do that for so long.
Right. I thought there was a new law that said you have to declare that you're Republican for X number of months before the primary or
year ahead.
What is that all
about? Yeah, and I don't remember, but basically that was designed to prevent it so that you wouldn't just be able to summarily change your registration because it was convenient. And you do it early enough so that you're making the declaration before the campaign filing season occurs.
Right.
So in other words, you're not changing your registration based on the fact that, oh, there are five people running in a race and you want to make sure that the most leftist candidate gets your vote because you don't know that yet.
Right.
So it's designed to weed out some of that. But now the left has upped the ante and they've come along and they said, well, we're just going to change the entire system and we'll do ranked choice voting such that, and this has been used in other places,
right.
You're not really deciding who the primary winner is. You're deciding who the people are that are going to go forward to the general election based on your ranking your choices of winners in order. So here are my candidates that I like. I like this one as my top tier candidate. The second one I kind of like, but not as much as the first one, and so on and so forth. And it's designed to weaken conservative candidates because conservatives have done really, really well in Idaho over the last, six, 8 years. They are gaining in prevalence in the legislature, in the stature. There used to be, there was, in the last legislative, in the 2022 legislative session, there were two conservatives out of 35 members of the state Senate. Two. And this last election, the 2022 primary and general election, now there's about 12. That's significant. And the numbers of conservatives are growing. So what do the Democrats, the leftists do? They try to change the rules, and that's what they're doing with this open primary ranked choice voting initiative that's trying to get to the ballot.
So what do you think is going to happen with that initiative? I know Jim Jones has been in at least our daily paper and maybe around Idaho just screaming at Moon and her extremist clique and all the extremist people all over. What do you think the outcome of that initiative is going to be?
Well,
I know it's a horse race, but how do you call it?
Well, I mean, the problem is that the state of Idaho doesn't really restrict initiatives very well. And not for lack of trying. The legislature a few years ago tried to raise the number of signatures you had to gather to be on the ballot. And the Supreme Court basically made up case law and said, oh, no, you can't do that because it affects your right to the ballot initiative, which was just nonsense. If I were in the legislature, recognizing that the left is using the initiative to make Idaho into California, right now it's a simple majority to pass an initiative. It makes no sense. I would make that into a supermajority. And there's been no case law. The Supreme Court has never taken up that issue. And you're not interfering with ballot access.
Right.
The only thing you're doing is saying the threshold for passage should be higher.
Right.
Because you bypass the legislature and you bypass the governor.
See,
to
that's
me, that makes
the
sense.
Important. That's the important thing. People just, initiative. You know, people have their say. No, it's because you, with a simple majority, can overrule the legislature. Yeah. You can overrule the governor, the elected representatives who are there to make our laws.
That's exactly
right.
So it
needs a higher standard.
That's exactly right. Because we aren't a democracy. To the degree we are a democracy, the democracy comes through the direct initiative process. They used to actually call that, there was the Direct Democracy League that pushed for the initiative and the referendum in the early 1900s, and they eventually won. I don't have an objection to the referendum so much because, maybe you do have a legislature that does something quirky and you ought to be able to vote on that.
Right.
And it is hard to get a referendum on the ballot too. But the initiative is writing laws divorced from any legislative process, and the real problem with that is you've got people that just pour a bunch of money into your state with a 30-second campaign ad, and you're supposed to decide
a signatures.
Absolutely, and you're supposed to decide a complicated issue. Take Medicaid expansion in 2018. And they said, wouldn't it be great if we brought all this money in from the federal government? Wouldn't it be wonderful if your neighbors had access to health care? And people voted for it. And they never really asked the harder questions that didn't come up in 30-second ads, like, well, how much money is that going to take from public schools or police or fire or prisons? Are we going to have able-bodied childless adults who are on a program who are then taking a bunch of psychotropics, antidepressant and anti-anxiety and ADHD medicines? And isn't that an issue?
Trans operations.
Or exactly, because we're paying for that now, too.
We're paying for that.
Yep. Well, you're not paying for surgeries, but you are paying for hormones.
Yes.
You're paying for that. And that wasn't an issue 5 years ago.
Yeah. I know I'm going back to the topic we talked about before, but I just want to underline this idea of freedom of assembly. This idea that anyone can just like cross over vote and it be a Democrat or Republican or liberal, whatever you are, and influence this other group of people that they need to have the right to choose their candidate. Republicans have the right to choose who they want without influence.
Yeah, it's sort of like McDonald's choosing the CEO of Wendy's.
Yeah.
You wouldn't do that. That'd be crazy. It's like,
but choosing who I'm going to associate with.
Yeah, you have a right to assemble, and in a primary election, that's how that nomination process works, and it works really, really well. It has worked for years. But the problem is that the left doesn't like the conservatives that the Republicans are choosing to elect, so they want to change the rules.
Yeah, when we come back, we're going to take a break right now. When we come back, I want to talk about this idea coming, I'm sorry, mostly from the left that says, You have to be quiet. You have to be silent. You have to shut up. You cannot.
We don't like what you're saying.
We don't like what you're saying. So you just don't get to, you don't get to participate anymore, because a lot of this changing the way we vote and primaries and trying to modify that is what they're saying. Like, oh, you conservatives, you know what? We just don't want to hear from you.
You're extremists.
You're an extremist. So therefore you have sure. to be quiet. All right. We're going to get into that when we come back. You stay tuned and we will be right back.
The legacy continues with a special rock celebration live. A trip to their massive hits and fan favorites. 3 decades, over 22 million albums sold, one night only. Saturday, September 30th at 7:30 p.m. Northern Quest Resort and Casino, live, on sale now. Get tickets at northernquest.com. Don't miss Live.
The Cult.
Under the midnight sun.
Under the midnight sun. October 11th. At Northern Quest Resort and Casino. Tickets on sale now at northernquest.com. The Cult. Under the Midnight Sun. Live.
Hi, this is Chad Young from the EasyHomeBuyer.com, Spokane and Coeur d'Alene's trusted cash home buyer. Despite record interest rate increases and home values dropping, I am still buying houses. If you own a house and want to sell as is in as little as 1 week, call me for your fair cash offer at 208-877-6000. We've helped hundreds of sellers in the area sell fast for cash and pay no commissions or fees. We are the highest rated cash home buying company in our area because we guarantee a closing and we care about our customers. We are a local family-owned company that buys houses, vacant land, and apartments. To get your free cash offer today, visit us online at theeasyhomebuyer.com or call us at 208-877-6000. That's 208-877-6000. Play that catchy jingle.
Pick up the phone to inquire. Call the Easy Home Buyer.
The Bonner County Fair is right around the corner, August 16th through the 19th. There's all the great fair food.
Somebody beat me.
Exhibits, displays, livestock, and more. Demolition Derby, Challenge of Champions, Bull Riding, and Barrel Racing. The Ranch Sorting Event and the special Summer Nights Concert featuring the local favorites Maya Kohal and Devin Wade. Log on to BonnerCountyFair.com. That's the Bonner County Fair at the fairgrounds in Sand Point, August 16th through the 19th.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack, but not with ZipRecruiter. Its powerful technology actively finds and invites qualified candidates to apply to your job. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
KBFI, KSPT, North Idaho's radio.
Hey everybody, welcome in. We have got it going on here in the studio today, having a lot of fun. Wayne Hoffman and his beautiful little granddaughter are with us today, and we're having fun. So I want to talk about this whole I want you to talk about and comment on this whole concept of where so many people on the left seem on campuses and meetings across America and right here in Idaho at school board meetings or any kind of public meetings where the governing entity wants the people in the audience to just be quiet, or the left wants the right to just be quiet. It's a culture of silence. And there was a recent Today letter to the editor. I'm going to just note a few of these things. The first thing was that this writer called out a person who was trying to say about the West Bonner County School District that there were some deficiencies in the academic achievement of the students. And so this person said, hey, wait a minute, you have to shut up because that's bullying. You're bullying our students. We can't, shaming them. We can't use academic standards as a way to make a decision about the school district. Here's another one. There was a fundraising effort for the recall, the guys and the gentleman and the lady who are being recalled. And no, you can't raise money and help them advertise or have meetings because that's political. You can't have political stuff going on. I'll give you one more, Wayne, to respond to. Here is, he's saying, you know, I want to comment on the residents coming in to live here from different parts of the country. You know, you left other places and here you are. And just because you're a resident, just because you're a taxpayer, apparently because you haven't been here for 100 years, you have to shut up because we're just not interested in what you think. Now, that can come on both sides of the playing pitch. But still, you cannot tell people that are residents here, you can't take away their freedom of speech.
Yeah, I mean, I think what's happening here is that the folks who are really part of the right didn't say anything for a very long time. They just let things kind of happen to them. And maybe, I mean, I've been doing this for three decades. And I think three decades. Let's see, I'm 51. Yeah, it's a little more than three decades I've been doing this. And I'd go to meetings and folks didn't show up. School board meetings, city council meetings, county commission meetings, legislative meetings. Folks did not show up for a lot of very, very important issues. And now they are showing up and they're asking a lot of questions. And they're sort of recognizing that they're the ones in charge, that these folks that we elect and we call them leaders, we're leaders. They're followers. They're following what we tell them to do. Now, occasionally you'll have somebody in elective office who truly is a leader, but a lot of these folks, they are followers and you have to treat them as such. And our folks are showing up and they're saying, no, why are my taxes going up so much? Why am I spending so much money on a school that is producing really bad results? Why am I being told to stay home by an agency that, you know, basically checks to make sure the refrigerators are at the right temperature and the septic tank is installed properly. I mean, going back to the COVID years. Yeah. So, I mean, people are really asking a lot of questions about who's in charge, what policies are they putting in place, and who gives them the right.
And here's the deal why that's so important is, you know, we exercise our power at the voting booth on who we get to nominate for through the primary process and who is the candidate that we want to vote for. But in order to understand who we want and who we like and who we're going to vote for in the next election, we have to ask them, why are you doing what you're doing? It's like our Bonner County commissioners with the Fair Board. Yeah. The state's against it, the Fair Board's, and yet they pursue. So people get to say, why are you pursuing this? And yeah, they don't want to answer that. They go, no, that's, you know, we're just doing.
People are waking up, and I think in the nick of time also, because frankly, our country is in crisis, and we've been autopilot for a very, very long time. So, you know, people are asking questions. Why does our education system work the way it does? Why does our healthcare system work the way it does? Be quiet, baby. Keep your voice down.
Let's stay with education then, because I know that's a topic that's really close to your heart.
Yeah.
Tell us what it is that you think is happening that we need to be concerned about, that is a think tank you want us to know about.
Well, working most recent and working backwards, wokeism in the public schools is terrible. I mean, it is there. Go look on our – we have a website called leadmap.org, and I'm having trouble saying it because I got bit in the mouth by
We've got a lot going on here today.
Yeah, and so it's L-E-A-D-M-A-P, leadmap.org. Sorry, left side of my mouth is all messed up. But anyway,
leadmap.org.
And if you go there and you can click on each school district, including the school districts here, and you can see what their academic performance is, how much money gets spent per student, how much the budget is for the school district, how much reserve funds they have, how much the superintendent is making, and whether there are incidents of critical social justice that we've documented in the school district. It's all right there. And the wokeism, you know, you see that everywhere. It's not just what's in the library, although that's a big part of it, But it's school districts that have gay sex alliance clubs on their campuses, including places that are very rural, you know, that you wouldn't expect it, you know, whether it's Sandpoint or West Bonner or Coeur d'Alene School District or whatever. You see school districts that have these clubs on campuses, questionable books in the classrooms and in the libraries.
Sometimes parents don't know.
Yeah, and then even before that was a thing, the academic performance was terrible. People will say to me, "Oh, our schools are wonderful. They're so good." Okay, well, only a third of your kids are graduating with the ability to read, write, and do math at a level they need to be successful in the world by the time they graduate. After you spent about $120,000 over the span of 13 years, and that's a problem.
Yeah. You know, the thing that concerns me is that, you know, in talking about education, it seems to, again, there's this divide of you need to be silent because there are maybe some good elements going on in some schools. It's not a broad swath that every school or every, like within our district, there are some that are. I think it's Southside is one. It's got pretty good numbers, comparatively speaking. So everybody just rushes to, no, it's all good, instead of allowing both the good and the difficult to emerge, that we really can ask questions about those areas or those schools that are not performing. It's not like it's all bad, but how can we lie to ourselves, not say, no, look, this is an issue at this school or in this district or someplace in Idaho, maybe local.
Yeah, I mean, here's what, yes, there are schools out there that are performing better than others. The problem is that they're not performing as well as they should be. Even the best schools, and I hate to say this because it sounds crude, crass, I guess, but they're the skinniest kid at the fat camp. You know, it's okay, you weigh 400 pounds, but you don't weigh 600 pounds, so yay you, you're skinny. Yeah. And so you've got these schools that are performing adequately, but not tremendously well.
Yeah, and there are schools in America that are achieving. I know there's a lot of apples and oranges, people try to get it, but no, it's true. There are some schools that really challenge their kids, and they're achieving.
But you also have a lot of schools, and the states are really bad at this, for having schools that have devalued American history education.
Yeah.
And so what you have are kids that think that the Constitution is a piece of white supremacist propaganda, and the Declaration of Independence is somehow colonialism. I don't know. All these different weird things. Washington is terrible. Jefferson is terrible. Madison is terrible. Lincoln is terrible. All these different,
yes,
you know, heroes of American history who are vilified for a variety of different reasons, mostly for wrong reasons, for a reinterpretation of history.
Just to destroy our
history. To destroy, and we teach them that. So what do you expect is going to happen when you don't teach kids what makes America special? Well, they're not going to start thinking America special the moment they graduate high school. That's just the way that is.
Yeah.
So we've got to get back to, I think, teaching reading, writing, and arithmetic. And doing it really well, civics, American history. Hillsdale has a great program that I think is really well. There are others out there as well.
By the way, Hillsdale curriculum is the very curriculum that the current board at West Bonner County School District want to and have ordered into their district. Yeah. It is one of the best decisions.
It is.
So good.
But here's the thing. The question you need to ask is, why is that the exception and not the rule?
Yes.
Why is it that Idaho depends on school districts to pass a curricula that, you know, is more in keeping with America's founding principles and traditions, and instead say, okay, these are the standards at the state level, and then you can deviate from that if you want to, I guess. But what we're doing is we're pushing the tide back with a teaspoon, the way we're doing it, where maybe you get a school that does it well and most of the schools won't.
Let me ask you a question about the Florida model. I came across that, and I think that was – I don't know if that was on your website or not. But Florida is ranked number one in education standards and achievement in the United States. What is it that they're doing? You know, what is it that they have for us?
Well, there's two things that I look at, and I still need to study the report because it just came out, I think, yesterday.
Okay.
But the short answer is they took on the leftist woke establishment right away. And they said, we're not going to stand for this. We're not going to do diversity, equity, and inclusion in our schools. We're not going to do critical social justice. All that stuff is out. But the other thing that they did was they emphasized they put a premium on parent choice and parental involvement. And that makes a huge difference. Now, again, I will say that I think more could be done. Florida's not perfect. And there are things that I wish Florida would do that they're not doing. But having said that, and this is the next part of our research, we're comparing Florida to California and then Idaho to Florida and Idaho to California. And we're saying, where do you think Idaho stands in that spectrum? Is Idaho more closely aligned with education standards and expectations in Florida or those in California? What do you think the answer is?
I am really interested in that answer when you get it. And
I will tell you.
Do you have it already? Close?
We're close to it, but right now, we're not done yet, but right now it appears to us that Idaho schools are much closer in academic rigor and expectations and standards to California than Florida.
All right.
And that's a problem.
That's a problem. I don't know the ranking of California, but enough said. Florida is number one in the United States. It's not perfect, but still, you know, as things go, they're ranked high.
There's something to be said about, I mean, here, just compare what Idaho's government has done relative to taking on the social justice stuff.
Yes.
They really haven't. It's there. We've pointed it out. We've talked about it. We have identified where it happens in the school and in the libraries with the books. And the legislature at least took that on. The governor vetoed the bill.
Yeah.
It's happening in the college and university system too, where the college and university system has done almost nothing to take on that, to stop it. They just allowed it to continue.
Well, there's a lot there. You know, when that report comes out, my next openings are actually in October. But when that report's ready, Wayne, I would really be interested in talking with you again.
Yeah.
And really focusing in on education, looking at the good and the difficult and how we can improve. All right. We're up against a break. We're going to take that right now.
AGE Heating and Cooling is your locally family-owned and operated Lennox Premier Dealer serving the greater Sandpoint area. What does that mean to you? Premier dealers are among a select few in the industry who uphold exceptional service, product training, and high customer satisfaction, earning and maintaining a 4-plus star rating among customers. Working with AGE Heating and Cooling is one of the smartest decisions you can make for your home comfort. Call today, 208-603-2210.
Hello, this is Scott
and Ty of Albertson Barlow Insurance Services.
We are very proud to provide the Sandpoint area with quality, competitive companies and exceptional service.
For all your insurance needs, whether it's life, health, home, auto, or commercial coverage, Scott and I are available to assist you in determining what coverage meets you and your family's needs.
We are located in the old Powerhouse Building, Suite 203, so come on down and see us, 208-265-6406.
The savings continue with Bi-Mart's latest savings book. Out now and posted on Bi-Mart.com. Our savings book is packed with 20 pages of everything you need for your Northwest lifestyle. From paddle boards to kayaks, fishing gear, and camping supplies. Plus everything you need to fill the pantry. And so much more. Bi-Mart has it all covered for less. Storewide savings are going on now with our latest savings book at Bi-Mart. Your Northwest employee-owned membership store.
Northern Idaho Power Sports wants to help you get outside this summer. Come check out their full line of CF Moto side-by-sides from the Z-Force Trail to the Get Your Work Done U-Force 1000. They can get your side-by-side winter ready with a snowplow and cap kit. They also carry CF Moto street bikes from the easygoing Rapio to the incredibly capable IMAX 800T adventure bike. No matter what you want to ride or have fun on, Northern Idaho Power Sports has you covered. Just 2 miles north of Sandpoint on Highway 95.
Football is back and NFL Plus has you covered. Get ready for the 2023 NFL season and get access to the NFL preseason. Watch live out-of-market preseason games on NFL Plus, including all 23 live NFL Network games across devices. Stream exclusive coverage of the top 100 players of 2023 and discover all access content from players, coaches, analysts, and more. Sign up today at plus.nfl.com. Terms and conditions apply. Live preseason games are subject to local blackouts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts' new Brake Mess Select Pro brand raises the bar for the best aftermarket domestic brake pads and rotors available. For vehicle-specific friction formulations, quiet tech noise-canceling shims, and stainless steel hardware, choose Brake Mess Select Pro. Professional-grade brakes from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
North Idaho's Radio, KSPT and KBFI.
Hey, everybody, welcome back in. We've got it going on today with Wayne Hoffman. He's the president and the founder of the Idaho Freedom Foundation. You can get a lot more information, a lot more information about the organization and what they study and what they report on at their website, IdahoFreedom.org, more than we're going to get to today. So I encourage you to go there and learn more about this organization. It's a public policy. Policy think tank.
Yeah, they call us a think tank, but I refer to we're a battle tank. We're built for battle.
Built for battle, and you're in the battle.
Yes, we are.
Well, you have a topic that I had not thought about, and I want you to comment on it right now, the mental health crisis that's going on across America and here in Idaho also. What's happening?
The reason I wanted to bring it up, because people are always surprised every time I mention it, but everything ties back into that. What's happened is there's a lot of different components to this, so I'm going to leave out some, and there's always more. But essentially what you have is people who are detached from society. They used to go to church, and now they don't go to church anymore. And they're depressed, and they're anxious. And so they go to the government, and they get drugged up. And you pay for that. You pay for the psychotropic drugs that is dispensed through the medical welfare system in Idaho. And it doesn't help them. It doesn't make them better. Doesn't make them more attached to their communities or their children or their spouses. It just makes them drugged up. And then they go through life in that condition where they go to the store and they buy the food that's bad for them. And they continue to have mental health problems. And then they want to divorce their spouse or abuse their kids or do whatever. And
more drugs.
And get more drugs. And the cycle continues, and it's happening all over America. And everybody knows this is true.
You know, I don't want to sound the alarm for a conspiracy theory, but, you know, this is the same thing that happened with COVID. I'm sorry, COVID was a real disease, but the way it was handled and the way it was everything locked down and the drugs that they only would approve was against the people. It was for big pharma, for big government, lots of money, and keep you stupid and drugged. And that's what I see you're saying.
That's exactly what's happening. And it's happening. It's bigger than COVID.
Yes.
Because it's going on and on. And there are millions of people. We were looking at the data the other day, and there are tens of thousands of Idahoans who are on ADHD medicines. And they don't need to be on those medicines. But you pay for that. The medicines are damaging their bodies. It's avoiding dealing with the things that would actually resolve that problem. For instance, eating
better. Growing
up and
eating better.
Growing up, yeah, all that
going
kind of stuff.
Going to school.
Mm-hmm. All those things. Getting some sunlight makes a difference. Getting food that's full of vitamins and nutrients makes a difference. But we're paying for this crisis, and we're going to be paying for it until the end of time. Because what happens is people get on that regimen, and then they end up having other kinds of problems. They go back to the doctors, they prescribe more stuff, and it just goes on and on and on until the moment you leave this earth. And it doesn't have to be that way. It was never that way. We have these pills that never existed before for ailments that never existed before. And now that's playing out in spades, and we are financing that.
You know, the other thing right there is I've read, correct me if I'm wrong, that once you're on these drugs, coming off these drugs is even more of a crisis.
Yes, it is.
I mean, your body just goes into a really downward slope.
Yes, they actually have actual withdrawals from SSRIs and MAOIs. And
which leads to suicide.
Which can lead to suicide, which can lead to other complications.
Crime.
Yeah, I mean, and you're seeing that also even with folks that aren't withdrawing. You know, they're taking these pills, and there's a lot of data that shows psychotropic drugs can contribute to the occurrence of crime, more so than, you know, even alcohol and, you know, various other things like that.
You know, I want to be careful with what I say. I read just within the last 2 days about Alzheimer's, and that a lot of the drugs that are antidepressive and are leading, they believe now, can lead to Alzheimer's. I want to be careful. I mean, it's still under study. I don't know a lot about it, but there's research at major hospitals and universities that's looking at the drugs you're talking about for older citizens, and it can lead to dementia, and it may lead to dementia and Alzheimer's.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So we are causing the problems that older people, that younger people, that people of middle age are facing.
Yes.
And that's just wrong. And it is a big, big problem. And I would also add to that the education system has not helped with that. So kids get into school and they don't sit still, and so they've got ADHD. And so they prescribe them something. And
when they're kids.
When they're just
kids.
When they're kids. And another problem are these devices that we have in our hands all the time, holding up my cell phone or a tablet. Yeah. And people just stare into the screens all day long, and they're not interacting with other people. And as a result of that, they feel depressed. And so they go to their doctor and they get prescribed a pill.
Yeah.
You know, I was on vacation. Let's see, this is August. So I guess it was a month ago. I went into the woods and I was there for 8 days with my phone turned off. And it was hard because this thing is actually very addictive, and you feel anxious and depressed when you're not staring at it. But people who stare at their phones all day sometimes feel, what do you know, anxious and depressed. And for those feelings, they go to the doctor's office and they get prescribed drugs through the medical welfare system in our state quite often, and we are paying for this crisis that's going on right now.
And this phone thing is, I don't want to give us an excuse, it's our addiction, but it is programmed to be addictive for us. What we're stopping on, what we're hesitating on, what we're clicking on, and they just feed us more of the same.
They do. They do.
They know we like it.
I stopped and looked at some wooden pet gates the other day and on Facebook, and now I get a bunch of ads for wooden pet gates.
Exactly.
Because I stared at it for 10 seconds. But yeah, so it is. But see, here's the thing, is that these government programs that people ask for to deal with their mental and emotional health problems are not the answer. They're replacing things like communities, neighbors, churches, charities that actually care about people.
Yeah.
And eventually you're circling the drain. So I bring that up just because, as a matter of public policy, we either make problems worse now or we make things better.
I got to have you back. Mental health and education, Wayne, going to be on the list big time.
They're huge.
When we get together again. We've got a minute, just a little over a minute. What's coming up, do you think, in the Idaho Legislature 2024?
Well, we're going to try again to get education choice passed. We've got some proposals to get there because parents do need a choice in their kids' education.
And that means the money follows the choice.
The money follows the students, and that parents get to figure out where that money is spent, whether it's a public school or a private school or homeschool or whatever else they can dream up, they get to go do that. That's our number one objective. But there are some other things that we want to tackle as well. I mean, including this mental health problem that we're facing. I mean, we did take $150 million from the Medicaid system, the medical welfare program in the state.
How much?
$150 million.
Wow.
Because, you know, there's just too much money going to that system, but it is a problem. And it's not only costing taxpayers a lot of money. Medical welfare in Idaho, it's the biggest program in the state, bigger than education. And so we need to tackle that again, so we will. The wokeism, the libraries, we're going to tackle those again. I'm sure. And one more thing, which is youth employment. One reason why young people are having mental health problems is because we've taken away their reason for being, which is, you know, work, learning a trade, learning a skill, earning some money. You don't get to do that because the laws tell you you can't.
I am looking forward to all of those topics talking, and I really hope that our legislature, you know, uses good common sense and they tackle that. You know what? That's going to have to be the last word for today. Wayne, thank you again for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Idaho Freedom Foundation. It is Freedom Foundation, IdahoFreedom.org. You can connect there. Come on back next week. I have the West Bonner County School District Superintendent Brandon Durst will be here.
Oh, I know that guy.
Yeah. Don't miss the show. You want to hear him for yourself. You don't want to hear somebody else's opinion. You get to listen to him directly, hear it from, so to speak, the horse's mouth. So until next week, this is Barbara saying take care of yourselves and each other, and may God richly bless you, my friends.